Ruth Elliott says, Hollywood's notion of love is millions of miles from the slightest comprehension of what the love of God is all about. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliott, author of Quest for Love and Love Has a Price Tag, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with my husband, Lars Grin, today. Welcome to the program, Lars.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure to be here. And yesterday we were just about to get started on this one little escapade that we had shortly after our marriage. And as you explained, that we were moving to Atlanta, Georgia, where I was going to do a hospital chaplaincy in Milledgeville training program. And your sister and the family were moving into our house, and everything had been cleaned. We were going to have lunch, and then we were going to leave. Well, I think it was about 10:30. We were loading the car to get on the way. And somehow something was said about we got to leave at 1:30 or something. I think there was a set time that you wanted to get away. And I said, you know, you're always running according to a clock, or if you lay down something one day, it has to be exactly the same way. I said, you know, we really don't have to leave today. And you said, we don't have to what? And I said, no. I said, you know, you Howards, I remember saying that. That's your maiden name. I said, you Howards, you're all the same. You're so regimented and regulated. I said, furthermore, I said, I don't like to leave in the afternoon. When I go on a trip, I like to get out in the morning early, drive my miles, and go to a motel early in the evening and have a good night of rest. I said, you leave at 1:30, 2 o'clock, and you don't get anywhere before you have to stop, or else you have to drive way late into the night. I said, look, we could stay here. And you said something about stay here. Where will we sleep? And, well, I said, it's no big deal. We can always make room or something. Well, I don't know how many times we went back and forth over this, but I did get a little bit heated about the whole thing. And the funny part of it, of course, is that while this was going on, I knew I was wrong. But I guess that's a man's dumb disposition, at least this man, of trying to make sense out of something that doesn't make any sense at all. And in the end, I think you did say something about, well, we have to leave. We can't stay here. And we did. I agreed, and finally we backed that old car out of the driveway and headed down the road towards Delaware for the first night. And I can't remember a word being spoken on that whole trip. And I do remember I had both hands on the wheel and just looked straight ahead. And I was mad.
For 7 hours.
But I would say that in thinking back over it, I'm sure that during that time of driving when I was silent, I was saying to myself, Lars, you're wrong. You ought to say something. But it's amazing how stubborn one can be, knowing that you're wrong, knowing that you ought to say something, knowing that eventually it has to come to a situation of forgive me and let's get over this thing and I'm sorry. And yet, in our sinfulness and obstinate way, I continued all the way down there.
Well, I think that no matter how long you have known your spouse before the wedding, you're bound to have some surprises when the wedding occurs. And I have said to newlyweds, you got married because you love each other. But from day one, tomorrow, you have to love each other because you got married. And it's my experience with the three husbands that God has given me that sometime during the honeymoon itself, there will be some unexpected things, which no matter how long you may have known your spouse before the wedding, there will be things that appear very shortly after the wedding vows have been spoken. Would you agree?
Yes, I certainly would agree. And a friend of ours, an old single lady, if you remember, she lived to be about 90 or so. Was she the one who said that the prize package turns out to be a surprise package?
That was dear Dorothy Collins, who lived down on Cape Cod.
Yeah.
And she was in her 90s when she died. But I remember her saying, "Betty dear, we're none of us prize packages. You look for the best and skip the rest."
Yeah, yeah. Well, of course, the next day after the short first day, we traveled on to Atlanta, and we had an unusual half a year down there in that our house was in Atlanta, but I was in Milledgeville, which a couple hours driving time in the hospital, and I stayed at the hospital. So during the week, I was there, and then I'd come up to Atlanta to see you. And many of those weekends, you were traveling, and it turned out that we had a number of 7 days where we didn't see each other. But I do remember, not while we were in Atlanta, but after Atlanta, there's one little thing that you've brought up more than once about our time in Atlanta, which, of course, is a city that is full of good restaurants and places to eat and all. And although we didn't have many, many occasions to go out, there certainly could have been some. But in that time that we were there, the only time I took you out, I took you to the Varsity. Now, for those of you who are not from Atlanta, the Varsity is a hamburger joint. Hamburger, hot dog, fried onions, fried potatoes, fried pies. And it is the largest, I think, what do you call it? Largest?
Hot dog place, I call
yeah,
it.
Yeah, hot dog place. I mean, they
had 2 tons of potatoes and 2 tons of hot dogs every day.
Was it 2 tons of onions or hot dogs? Onions.
No, maybe it was onions. The potatoes, onion. 2 tons of each, potatoes and onions.
Yeah.
It was a horrible place.
There we were in a great big new city and all these nice places to take to, and your sweet husband takes you to a Varsity. But I thought that would give you the flavor of the city. However, I hope I've done better since that time. It was a time of adjustment, but I guess we really didn't have enough time to rub each other wrong, because we weren't together that many days during those 6 months.
Well, there was that one night when we went to bed. We'd had some kind of a falling out. I was lying on my side as far over as I could get, practically hanging off the side. You were on your side, and I was waiting for the apology, which I felt so sure would be forthcoming.
I recall that. I don't recall it because it has been forgotten as far as knowing what the circumstances were, but I do know it because you've told it many times from the platform. And of course, I was there, and I'm well aware of the verse that you don't want to let the sun go down on your wrath. And I have to say that I've been guilty of that more than once. I hope nowadays not as it used to be. I was quite good at just closing my eyes and going to sleep. But you were waiting for the apology, and I think you were shedding some tears and waiting for me to say, "Forgive me, I'm sorry." When all you heard was, and I was fast asleep.
I remember that well. And I felt like jabbing you in the ribs with my elbow and telling you it's high time you apologized. But thanks be to God, by His Holy Spirit, I think, He told me what I really should do, which was to get out of bed and go into another room and open my Bible and see if the Lord didn't have a word for me. And so the words that I opened my Bible to almost at random were the words that said, love is very patient, very kind. Love does not boast. It is not rude. That whole passage in 1 Corinthians 13. And I realized that the finger of God was pointed at me. I didn't need to be pointing my finger at my husband.
If there are some men out there who have been in like circumstances as I was in that particular evening, the thing which, of course, is so irrational is that we don't think through this and realize that sooner or later, we have to say, I'm sorry. We have to ask for forgiveness. And you really wind up with double guilt when you wake up, as I did the next morning, because now not only did I have sinned in letting the sun go down on my wrath, I get up and you tend to have this stubbornness and saying, well, I have to do it, but I'll do it after breakfast, or I'll do it at lunchtime or at dinner time. And so it is a difficult thing, and it's so much easier to make up quickly and be in agreement.
Yes, and I remember one more verse from that passage in 1 Corinthians 13. Love keeps no records of wrong. May God help us to remember those things.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.